good evening, everyone. Now on stage, Excusably and Martin Grosshauser, simulating the photovoltaic potential of roofs and facades with WebGL and open data in real time. So what they told me was, if you are thinking about installing a PV machine, I don't know the term in English, then you should stay here. If you love open geodata, you should stay here. And if you like fancy 3D simulations with WebGL, then you should definitely stay here. Big applause for those two.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So what we want to do is basically exactly as you said. We want to make an easy and approachable visualization of the solar potential of basically every building in Germany, so that you can basically go on a website, type in your address, and basically find out how much electricity you could actually produce. And this is basically what we try to implement in OpenPV. And there are two other people that were actually helping doing this, but they cannot be here today. But yeah, we also want to mention them because it's also their work. And first, let me show you the website as it is now, because it's online, and if you go to openpv.de, you can actually type in your address and basically look it up, have your house basically shown up on a map, and then simulate it, and basically everything is done locally. So what we do is basically we gather the geodata, so we have the building geometries, we have the terrain model, and we have the vegetation for, I mean, it depends, like, based on the availability of this data. But based on this data, we can locally on your device, so basically on your phone or on your laptop, simulate or do a physical simulation of the solar irradiation across the year. And then you can basically go and click and then have a expected yield for your PV system across the year. So basically, that's the idea. You can see it, you can draw your PV system, and then also have a estimation based on how much electricity you use per year and whether you want to install a battery storage or not. You can basically have a rough estimation of your saving potential that you could get by installing this PV system. And yeah, so basically this is like the prototype as it is now, basically as a very easy. So we're not intending to have a very detailed simulation that is basically like where you do all the planning, but rather like a simple first step into visualizing what you could do, and then get people who might not know if their home is suitable, or also just their flat, their balcony is suitable, to have a first step, a first motivation to actually think about if it's worth it or not. And, oops, that was not intended. So for us, the important thing was that everything is done locally, and everything is done using the publicly available data. So the first prototype basically was basically I wanted to figure out whether it would work on my home at home, basically. And so it was basically a weekend project, as most things. Then basically the first implementation was very rough, but now we want to basically draw the steps that we got, how it got from this very first rough prototype that takes forever to simulate one building to the website as it is now. And yeah, so basically the idea was, okay, if the code is not so much work, then it should be easy to make a web application. But as we all know, it's not so easy in the end. But yeah, now Flo will tell you a bit about like what was the process towards it.
Yeah. So to have something like this, the first thing we need is this data. So you've already seen there's data from houses in there and from other things. So in the beginning, we need data. What data do we need? Well, obviously, we need all those 3D buildings, like from whole Germany in 3D, we need the building data. Then vegetation, like trees, are also very often responsible for shading, so we need data about trees in Germany. Then mountains, I mean, in Hamburg, probably not so important, but there are other regions in Germany where mountains are also responsible for shading, and we need to take data of mountains and hills also to calculate this potential. And of course, we need sun irradiance and climate data of the position. So let's start with this 3D building data. And what we have is a data set of Germany of all buildings in 3D. And we have this in, we call it a so-called CityGML5 format. So Wikipedia defines CityGML as an open standardized data model, an exchange format to store digital 3D models of cities and landscapes. As CityGML already implies, this is an XML file format, which means it's a like huge text files. And yeah, so what you have in there is coordinates, and so you have coordinates of those polygons. So in the end, like a roof is a polygon, and you have like the points and the edges. You have all those points in the data set, and you have additional information, like this polygon is a wall or a roof. And you have this available from the 16 federal agencies of surveying. So these are the Landesvermessungsämter, it's called in German. Yeah, and whole Germany is roughly 1 terabyte. So, and then the data quality in there varies. Like I've already said this, it's from 16 different sources, and all of them interpreted this a little bit differently. Like, what do they have to publish in this data? So we have places that have really nice, very detailed data. Like here on the left side, this is the castle Neuschwanstein. And on the right side, this is the Cologne Cathedral. So rather detailed, all the different shapes. But then, of course, there are also buildings with rather abstract geometries, let's say it like this. So on the left side here is our parliament. German parliament, famous for being most of the time as a height of 0 meters. Or on the right side, it's the Brandenburg Gate, a cubic interpretation of the Brandenburg Gate. Yeah, but I mean, in general, I mean, also what you can see here in like the background, I mean, you see the castle in the foreground, and probably this is like the famous places, they may be also handmade, but also in the background, you see all those buildings and from all this data is available. And these are this text files where you have all this data. This is the CityGML text file. It's a terabyte of text. And you have these, like this position list, like the numbers there, which are the actual coordinates in X, Y, Z. And then you have ideas for your different polygons. And you have also some additional information, like this polygon is a roof surface. Yeah, and we think this is quite awesome. Like, it's great that we have all this data. And it's also rather new. And it comes, so it's available for all of Germany since this summer. And this is mostly due to the European Union. So there's a directive 2019-1024. From June 2019 on open data and the reuse of public sector information. And the idea there was, because all this data was gathered by those 16 different survey institutes in Germany, but they sold this data, so it was like hidden, and it was quite expensive to get this data. And then the European thought about like common goods and also defined data more as a common good, and then they defined which sort of data should be publicly available. And those buildings are actually part of this data. And now, since this year, we have buildings, and we can build applications like that. Then the second part is the vegetation. So this was also visible in the GIF before. Like in green, what you can see here is trees or other sorts of vegetation, and of course they do shading, so we need them. And we extracted them from laser scans. So for, I think for every state in Germany, they put laser scanning devices on planes. They fly over the whole country, and they produce this laser scan data. And it's like it's a huge data set, and it has like up to 1 gigabyte per square kilometer. So you can roughly do the math later, how much of terabytes you have when you get whole Germany in laser scan data. We only did this until now for Bavaria because it's rather complicated and it needs lots of storage and stuff and computation time. But for Bavaria, it really worked quite well. And yeah, this is actually is the raw data of the laser scan. So this is one of those tiles that you can get. And we have plotted like the set dimension with the color. So you just see like the height of the stuff in color. And it's lots of information in there. And there are other data sets as well that are interesting. So aerial imagery is available for most of states in Germany. So on the left side for you, it's traditional RGB color code, so normal photos. And on the other side, it's infrared images. And especially for vegetation, infrared is very interesting because the reflection of plants in the red spectrum is very distinguishable from the rest of the image. Yeah. And there are also digital surface models. In the end, this is like just the upper bound of the laser measurements. And it gives like always the highest point of the surface, including buildings, including trees. And they have this in different resolutions, 20 centimeter per pixel, 40 centimeter per pixel. It depends. And like this last part already shows like the most problems we had here, because there are 16 states in Germany and there are 16 different open data portals. And this was like the largest problem we had when building this, because like getting the data from all the data portals is very different for all the portals, and then especially the sort of data they define of what they give to you is also very different. And the like the number of potential problems is really large. Just for example, something that can happen that your open data portal is on Christmas holiday. Yeah, so I don't know, probably no data on Christmas. But then something rather nice after like trying to get this vegetation data and struggling, and then in the end we only got it for Bavaria. We thought, okay, we have to do the same now for mountain data, for terrain data. Scrape all the different states. Yeah, but luckily we didn't have to do this. So there's this one person, Sonny, who gives out the data for free in an open license, like it's a CC BY license. So at this point, thanks, Sonny, for doing this. So we didn't have the problem there. So this person does it for, I think, whole of Europe. Gives out terrain data. You can also visit this website, get terrain from other countries you're interested in. And the last part we need is like solar radiation data. There's this NSRDB, it's called. It's a database of solar radiation. It has time series, so at, I don't know, a good resolution, several kilometers, you get every hour in a year the direct normal and direct horizontal radiance, and this is essentially the numbers we need to make this simulation. And it's the data we use here. Yeah, and after we collected all the data, I hand over back to Martin.
Yeah, so now the question is, from this data, how do we actually get it to make sense? How do we actually do the physical simulation? And how it works, the naive way of doing is importing all the geometries. So you basically look at your houses, then you also include the vegetation. And then what you do is do this kind of Monte Carlo simulation where you just, across the year, sample sun positions. And then 4 points on your geometry, you basically check whether you can from a point on your roof or on your facade, you can at this point in time see the sun or not. So, like, do you have actual direct irradiation by the sun or not? And do you have a direct indirect irradiation by, do you see the sun? Do you see the sky? Because the sky, like in Central Europe, contributes a lot. So there is not only direct irradiation, but also just by seeing like a part of the sky which is bright, gives you additional radiation. So it can actually make sense to install a PV system on a north slope of a roof, because even if you never get direct irradiation, because the sun is never there basically, you still get enough indirect irradiation so that it actually makes sense to put it there. So now the problem is, if you do this for like the naive approach, where you just load all the geometries and then just trace everything, all the triangles against each other triangle basically, then it just explodes, because you have like, for say 300 some positions, you have 10,000 triangles times 10,000 triangles. So you have already 10 to the 9 intersections that you have to compute. So you need a way of speeding it up, because you don't want to actually run it on your CPU. So we tried different approaches, which did not work as well as expected. So I mean, like, especially the ONNX and the WebAssembly, they never got actually the speed. But what worked well was WebGL. So basically, in the end, what we did was we implemented the Müller-Thombode algorithm in a parallel fashion with WebGL. And so you just trace everything on the GPU. So it's not beautiful, because it's still kind of brute force, because you don't do a lot of like nice computation of what can shade something or not. But we just do everything, but we just push it to the GPU, and it's fast, so it's good enough, basically. So this is published as a package, so you can basically just download it or include it into your software. And it basically takes in the geometries, takes in the sum positions, and then basically simulates the whole thing and gives you the yield on the surface. And so now, what did we actually learn from it, or what were the things that we still want to do in the future? So the thing is, like, it was both harder and easier than we expected. So the thing is that with the, like, basically from the beginning, from the whole data processing, then the actual simulation, then the whole things around it, so the user interface, the address lookup and everything, there's, in the end, a lot of moving parts. So just like, even if it's just a small project with only 4 people involved, it somehow creates a lot of like friction when you have to adjust something. Then like, you have a ton of downstream things that you also have to adapt. So like, it's kind of already a big software project, more or less, or it feels like a big one at least. But what has worked oftentimes was just implementing things like in the most stupid way that you could imagine, and not try to think of something smart, but just do the most plain thing that you can think of, and that's the thing that we stuck with, because it's the one that works most reliably. And also, because, I mean, for us, it's not really about the software in the end, but about like creating the impact of getting people to actually like do something, right? Because what we want to do in the end is like have the people actually get out there to their balcony or to their roof and install a PV system. But so basically, we really have to narrow it down to our user group. So this is like really the most important thing, that for those people that we want to reach, it makes sense. Like, it doesn't have to be too complicated and not too simple. So that was a bit the trade-off. So basically, it's really like, the goal is really a low entry barrier website, with the aim of just kind of get the foot into the door, basically. And the 3 main pillars that we were struggling with, but like, people are really like, the correctness, it's really important. Like, even if the physical simulation is kind of seems a bit overkill for just a simple visualization, like, people are very aware of like, there's this bush in front of their house and there's this like gable roof that kind of shades it. So like, we were surprised by how much people actually cared about like that the simulation makes sense for them. So no shortcuts there. And then the user experience was also a big thing, because it's still like the 3D interface, especially since most people are accessing it via the phone. It's really something that like you have to try a lot and still not all the way there, that you have a 3D interactive thing rendering on the phone, but at the same time that you interact with via your finger. And also the last thing is really that it's actionable in the sense that you present some information, but the information should also not just be dead, that you have like information, but also that it makes sense to you in a way that like you have the information and now you actually have a way forward. And in the end, what's really also the thing about solar energy is that people are really good at calculating the amortization time and basically how long you have to have it on your roof so that you actually earn something. So even if there's like this idea of doing it for the CO2 reduction, in the end nobody's doing it for that. Like people are doing it because it saves them money. So So we are trying to implement this a bit better. And so basically our call to action also for you is basically, if you came here with the idea, okay, does it make sense or not, then please use the website, please look at it. And one thing that we want to get out is basically that even if you don't own a house or anything, just having a balcony or a place to install it, it basically, in most of the cases, it makes sense. So it's really like, basically what always comes out is that if there is not really a tree in front of your house or you have a north facade, it always makes sense. So like the things are so cheap, like the balcony PV systems, you can get for a few hundred euros. It saves you like more than 100 euros per year, basically. So it's not a, like you don't really need to calculate a lot. Like in the end, you don't need a lot of difficult calculations, because in the end it's a no-brainer to do it, basically, especially since the installation, you don't need to pay an electrician or anything for it, but rather you can just plug it in, like the small PV systems. So, and this is really like what we want to kind of like point people towards to, that they're like basically compared to 5 years ago, it's a completely different ecosystem. So basically nowadays it's just like the default should be that like if you have a play, like if you have a balcony or anything that is like could be a place where you can install it, probably it works, like probably you can just do it. And also, yeah, if you want to yourself basically have more information or tell your parents, tell your friends, there's also this Balkon Solar in Freiburg, which is, they are doing a lot of public outreach, so you should really look at their website, which is linked here. And also, like, basically we got funded for this project, for the prototype fund, and what's nice about them is that it's also very low entry barrier, but basically for public interest tech, so both for an individual or a team, can be like a great opportunity, because it's only a 2-page application, and for us it worked super well. Like, I mean, we were there in the round from March till September this year, and it was just, everything was flawless. It was like nothing was a pain or anything. The application is super quick and the people are super, super helpful. So especially for getting a prototype to run, like, this is great. And now they changed the funding system, so starting now. So it's even more money, like up to 150,000 euros, which is a lot. So if it's something that you might be interested in, the application is open till beginning of January, so you have to be quick. But also it's not a lot of work, so you should definitely try that. And yeah. Thanks a lot for listening. Please try it out. We would be super happy if you just tell us your feedback. And if there are any questions, we're happy to.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the internet? No. Are there any questions from the audience? I don't see any. Oh, there's one.
Yeah, thanks for the nice work. I already checked your website and I was confused why there are data missing for the Saarland and Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. Do you know the reason?
Is it still missing? So, I think for Mecklenburg-Vorpommern it's updated by now.
Okay.
For both states we had the problem that the data was like, I think for Saarland we had a problem that they just returned 2D data, so they did not return any set values, which is no 3D building data anymore. But I think they fixed it. So for Saarland, we're in the process of getting this in as well. I think for Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, we have integrated it.
But it was a problem for a long time.
It was for quite a long time a problem.
So the thing is, like, they have, like, a few of the states have a portal, but it's not really bulk downloadable. So they only have this click interface, and then they zip the, So in the end, like, if there's a nice bulk download where you just can basically get all of it, then it works.
Okay, nice, thanks.
So, are there any more questions? There is one, yeah.
Thanks for the session. You said something about getting the distance of the tree and the house, or the house, right?
Yes.
You get this data from the website you mentioned, from this data sets?
Yes. So basically, we have a 3D, like, we have basically the 3D geometry of all the buildings. So we have triangles for that, and then we also have the vegetation as a height map, basically. So we can also just load this as a mesh, and then we just do ray tracing. Basically, like, we start from a point on the roof. So basically, we just, like, put points that we want to trace on the roof or on the facades, and then, like, basically imagine being on this point and then looking towards the sun, we check whether we intersect something, like if there's something on the way, like if there's a tree on the way, and if it's blocked, then we say, okay, like for this time point it's blocked, we don't see the sun, and we do this for all points, for all sun positions.
So we basically just have to give the information of vegetation and the building. So
for the rest of for the package.
Okay.
For this package, yes, exactly, yes.
Okay, thank
you. So, one last question.
Hey, thanks again. So, you have the laser scan data and the height data. Did you think about creating models of the buildings yourself, since they could be more accurate than the CityGL model?
Yes.
I mean, for now, the CityGML is the easier solution.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to basically, because this approach is not super nice, like, from a theoretical perspective, because you just do brute force tracing it. But if you do, like, you could also do ray marching instead of ray tracing everything against everything, and then you can do this. Basically, you project everything into a 2D height map, and then you basically go along the line and then just go on your 2D grid, and that's much faster. Like, we tried it, it works much better, but it's not implemented yet, so we have to adapt everything. But yes, it makes sense to do this unified thing where you just put everything into a height map and ray march this. It's the best performing thing, yes.
So, give them a huge applause. We'll be right back.